Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Rick McCamp, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement public safety organization. We're glad that you've joined us tonight. From wherever you're at, we have many listeners. They email us each week, and we're thankful that they do. They send us emails from places such as Zimbabwe. Can you believe it? Zimbabwe emailed me this week. Hades emailed me. It's just great to get these emails from around the world. We got an email the other day from Portugal. We have members throughout the world and across the United States, and we're glad that we do, and we're thankful that you're listening to us tonight. Private Officer International Talk Radio is growing by leaps and bounds. We can't believe it, but we've been told it's because of the type of programming that we do. It is not just for the private security officer, but many of our shows actually touch base on things that others in other fields can use. And so that's why we get lots of emails and lots of listeners, and it continues to grow. And we're excited because this year we're really stepping it up, and we're glad that you are part of it. Well, we do have a lot to talk about tonight, as always, and I do want to tell you up front, if you want to send us an email while we're on the air, like many of you do, you can do that at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. We will be glad to announce your news items, any training events that might be happening in your neck of the woods. Send us an email about maybe a promotion that you received, or anything that you'd like for us to announce, and we will do it for a small fee. All right, we'll do it for free. We'll do it for free. You can't be free. So we will announce to the world and to your neighborhood what is going on and all about your promotion. Just send us an email while we're on the air at radio@privateofficer.com. Now, we do get a lot of listeners after the show is over. As you know, this is a live radio program each week. We actually do two shows, and this is our weekly security show. And after the live radio program is off, we get many people that listen to it. It's available 24/7 on demand right here on the web. All you have to do is click on the episode that you'd like to listen to. I believe this is episode 73, so there's quite a few shows for you to listen to. Now, if you are listening after the live radio program, you can still send us an email anytime, day or night, at radio@privateofficer.com. It will come to me, and I will answer your email. Thanks again for joining us tonight. I also want to remind you that if you'd like to follow us online from wherever you are, whether it be Zimbabwe or Belgium, our latest country that joined the few weeks ago, you can do it at privateofficer.com, www.privateofficer.com. That is our main website. And right now, we've got a lot happening. Just go to the home page, and you can see it all right there. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook/privateofficer.com. If you are a Twitter kind of person, tweet, 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 tweet. You can follow us on Twitter /private officer. Now, as I tell you each week, this is really a great way to keep up with the breaking news, because our breaking news is connected to Twitter, just like the big guys, just like CNN, Fox, ABC, and all of your local stations. Anytime there's a breaking news item, we will send it out, and it will automatically send out a tweet across Twitter. So if you are one of those kind of people that like to keep up with the news, or if you are a Twitter happening kind of person, join us at Twitter/private officer. Of course, we have our own forums. Right now, we have probably 600-plus members or so on the forums. And we have probably about 1,000 different threads and numerous groups. And we have police officers. We have FBI agent, deputy marshal, many security personnel from around the country and around the world taking part in the forums. So you can go to our forums. Just go to our main website, privateofficer.com, and click right there on the right-hand side of the homepage where it says forums, and it will link you. Now, while I'm on that subject, a number of times this has come up, so let me try to clarify this for you. If you are a Private Officer International Association member and you want to go to the forums page, you will still need to set that up individually. That forum really is not associated with your membership information. We will eventually set it up where you can put in your member's ID number. But right now, to set up your home page on the forum, you just put in your email address and information and follow the links. And it's pretty simple. It's like going to any other forums page or social network site. And you can set up your little page, and it will be approved within 24 hours. You can also follow us. If you would like to follow the news, you can do that day or night, 24/7. We update the news regularly several times a day at privateofficernews.wordpress.com. privateofficernews.wordpress.com. Now, as I always tell you, there are a lot of addresses to keep up with, but the best way, you don't have to write this down, you don't have to memorize it, you don't have to, you know, wonder what it was. The best way to go to all of these links is to go to our homepage at www.privateofficer.com and click on the link from the homepage, because they are all there. Well, I hope that clarifies that up. And we want to address this as well. We've mentioned the last few radio programs we're using Constant Contact, which is an emailing service to send out all of our email broadcasts. If you're not getting them and you would like to, simply go to our homepage at privateofficer.com, correct? And right there on the bottom of the homepage, you can click on where it says Breaking News and sign up to receive the Breaking News email blast. We also send out informational blasts. We send out training emails, and this is how you get on that emailing list. So be sure to do that. Not now. No. Hold on. Wait until after the show, because we've got a lot going on that we want you to listen to, and we don't want you to miss it. Now, also, we're asking you to tell us if there's a better way of communication, a better communication method. We have used all sorts of methods, and we continue to. We use our blogs, we use our forums, we use our breaking news email blast, and we also make some one-on-one phone calls. But this is our best mass communication method. But if you have another suggestion, we've heard someone say a phone tree, but that doesn't really work, because people are hard to get a hold of these days. And, you know, we could start a phone tree and, you know, there'd be some messages left, and some people might get them in time, some wouldn't, so on and so forth. So we think that this is the best method, by using the Constant Contact email blast. But if you have a different method that you think is better, send us an email. Send it to me personally. at radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com. Listen, something else that we've been kicking around for the last month or so, or actually just before Christmas, before the holiday break, we've been kicking around the thought of creating an advisory board. An advisory board, some folks thought, and we concur, that it may be good to have people, members of the association and members of the security and law enforcement industry, to become part of the advisory board. And the advisory board would basically throw out ideas. It would be a think tank. It would be an opportunity for you to tell us what you think we're doing right, what you think we're doing wrong, what you would like to see changed, maybe some additions brought in, so on and so forth. This is your opportunity. If you're interested, you can go to our main website, privateofficer.com, and just click on where it says contact us and send us a little email, or you can email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. We would like to see this in action over the next 90 days, and if you're interested in sitting on the advisory board, just let us know, and we will consider you and contact you. Now, we do have some emergency breaking news. As always, before going on the air, I always check the wires to see what is breaking, what news we've missed in the last few hours. We do have some sad news out of Monroe, Washington. According to authorities in Monroe, Washington, a female correction officer was killed at the Monroe Correctional Complex. It seems that Officer Jamie Bendel, 34, an 8-year veteran of the Corrections Department, was killed in, of all places, the chapel. Authorities say that Brian Scherf, a 3-strike inmate serving a life sentence already for rape and assault, is the suspect in the murder. According to authorities, the correction officer was on duty unarmed alone last night at around 9:15 p.m. at the chapel. According to authorities, during the bed count, they noticed that the suspect was not where he was supposed to be. They discovered him in the chapel along with the dead correction officer. Now, some folks blame the reduction in staff, the freezing on hiring, and it is a sad fact that we're living in the world that we're living in today. We law enforcement agencies are cutting back on staff. Budgets are getting thinner. Departments are not hiring. I personally know of a number of academies that have not held an academy in close to 2 years. No academy. That means no recruits coming out on the street, no new blood, no additional backup. But in this situation, I blame the perp, the suspect. He's a 3-striker. That means in California, he's never getting out of prison. He's in there for life. So what does he care if he takes a life? He doesn't. What can they do to him? Kill him? That's a long process in America. It could take 20 years. 20 years through appeal after appeal after appeal. Most of these felons, most of these criminals know it. That's why we're seeing the huge spike in officer fatalities, officer assaults. And it's not getting better, folks. It's not getting better. This is very sad. The female correction officer, 8 years on the job, just trying to make a living like anyone else. Our condolences go out to the family. fellow officers there at the correctional facility, and we hope that justice prevails in this case. And unfortunately, the death penalty is the only justice that will end this person's reign on violence. We did issue a high alert last week as police officers continue to be shot and killed. This month, 17 police officers killed, more than 30 shot. On the other side of the coin, we have 25 security officers shot, 4 killed this month. We're talking about January. Technically, we still got another day to go. The month of January has not been kind to law enforcement or private security when it comes to assaults, brutal attacks, and death. We are under a high alert because most people, most perpetrators, most criminals do not care what type of uniform, what agency, private or public, law enforcement, they don't care. In the last 48 hours, we've had 3 incidents of shoplifters pulling guns on loss prevention. 3 in Arizona, Colorado, and California. The job is getting tougher, much more dangerous, and the backup and the public concern is not there, folks. It's not like it used to be. I read an interesting blog this week from a retiring police officer who'd been on the job for 32 years. He said, "I'm still a young man. I've barely 50. I could do this job easily for at least another 10 or 15 years. Easily." But he said, "I'm concerned for my own safety, my fellow officers, the public safety, because the money is not there to hire personnel that's needed. The concern from the public, from the politicians, and even from the department, the agencies, are not there. It is what it is," they say. So people are getting killed left and right in uniform. So that's just their job. No, it's not their job. It is a sacrifice that they're willing to make. I wish that this was a happier note, but actually this has been a rough month. I've had contact with a number of agencies, law enforcement and security, and it's an unfortunate trend that we are seeing. As I mentioned last week in talking with the media a few weeks ago, they asked, do I think that things will change, that this is just a rough month? No, I don't. I don't think that they will change. Last year was a horrendous month. Last year was a horrendous year for law enforcement deaths, injuries, and private security as well. In private security, we saw a substantial increase of armed assaults and attacks. We saw an increase in security officer deaths. So, no, I don't think that things will get better anytime soon. So you need to be on high alert. You need to be, no matter what your assignment, no matter what your job, no matter where you are, even if you are in the smallest of towns, things happen when you least expect it. Be on your toes. This week in Chicago, some of you may have heard or may have read the email blast that went out. Again, this ties right into what I'm saying now. Listen up. 2 heavily armed men tried to rob an armored car One man was armed with a sawed-off shotgun. Another man was armed with a semi-automatic weapon. But luckily, while the man with the shotgun was holding the armored car guard at gunpoint, he managed to pull his own weapon and shot and killed the robbery suspect. At the same time, his partner, instead of sitting in the truck where he was safe and secure, instead of driving off, he had the presence of mind to react, and he quickly swung into action, shooting the second suspect multiple times. I bet they were surprised. I bet the suspects were totally caught off guard, because in most armored car heists, it doesn't go down like that. Either the security officers never pull their weapon, never get a shot off, or they never take down the threat. But these two Garda armored car security guards, they were on the ball. And luckily for them, they were. Because these men were not playing games. Sawed-off shotguns, semi-automatic weapons. No, they weren't there just to see what little money they could take. They were there to take lives if necessary. And that's exactly what I've been talking about. We've got to be on high alert. We've got to be ready when you least expect it. So this is a great job by the armored car guards in Chicago, and I hope that all of you can take a lesson from that. We have a survey, a couple of surveys actually going on right now on the forums we'd like for you to participate in. You can go to the forums after the show and tell us, one, what type of communication you think would be best, and secondly, we're thinking about adding some other benefits, and you can go there and put your two cents in. While I am thinking about it, one of our associate companies, one of our friends in Nashville, is offering $25 off all ballistic vests to private officer members. If you'd like more information, go to appstraining.com, appstraining.com. They are in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you mention that you are a member of privateofficer.com, Private Officer International, they will gladly give you discount on the vest, on armor plates, and they have American-made great bulletproof vests at discounted rates for you right now. Well, you may or may not know, we are right now in the 2011 training initiative that we kicked off. It actually kicks off on Tuesday, February 1st, but many, many members have taken advantage of this. We are really excited about this training initiative that we've started. We are glad that so many of you are taking this serious, and as you can see, by the officer down, by the continual violence, that there is a great need for the training that is available. And so our training initiative asks that we train 1,000 private officers this year. Not this month, not next month, but this year. Now that sounds like a large number, but in reality, it's a very small number when you consider there are 3 million private security personnel here in the U.S., and this is an international initiative. And we're talking worldwide. Worldwide, there's about 27 to 30 million, according to the statistics that I saw earlier last year. There's about 27 or 30 million security officers worldwide. There's a huge contingency in Canada and Europe and the European countries. In fact, in those countries, many private security are really law enforcement. They're doing law enforcement duties. So the initiative is very obtainable. 1,000 private officers trained this year. And so far, we're really doing well. We've had about 100 people reply and pledge to obtain 2 certifications that are not required by the state. And that's the stipulation. It can't be something that the state requires. It can't be something that you have already taken. These are new training initiatives. So we'd like for you to take something that is not required by the state. And basically, you can take it online or take it on your job site, or you can take it from all of the various organizations that we've recommended in the past. I particularly recommend that you take first aid CPR, you take some type of workplace violence, take the Certified Asset Protection Professional 1 and 2, be certified in as much as you can. I told you last week about someone I interviewed recently. He did not have a college degree, but he certainly had a stack of certifications, awards, and all sorts of things. And that goes a long way to advance and enhance your career. All you do is you go online at www.privateofficer.com. At the top of the home page, click on where it says Make Your Pledge and follow the links. We are offering 1 free training module per person ourselves. The value of the training module is about $100. We are giving it to you free. And once you've completed that module, we will give you a short exam and you will get a certificate of completion. You will also be part of the national broadcast and press release later in the year. So it's a good thing all the way around. We've listed a number of free courses that we're offering, and we've listed a number of sites that are offering free training. In fact, one of our members in the Cincinnati area, Brian Holstag, recently, just in the last 24 hours, in fact, completed a workplace violence course offered by Homeland Security. It's a free course. A lot of people want to say, I can't afford school. I can't afford to do this. These are free, people. The only thing that it's going to take is a little bit of time. Just go to the website, privateofficer.com, click up at the top of the homepage, follow the links, and there's a ton of websites. There's about a dozen offering free training. We added one recently that we became aware of, First Observer, I believe it's called. That is a government-sponsored site from Homeland Security. You can get trained in a number of areas there, free of charge. We also recommend that you join CERT, Civilian Emergency Response Team. Almost every major community has one, and if they don't start one, it's free. Go to CERT.com, C-E-R-T. You'll get training in rescue, emergency response, all sorts of things that will come into play with your career in private security. So join us in the 2011 training initiative. We actually have, like I said, we've had great response, and we have a lot of things going on in the training area. Enhance your career and your resume, and do it free. We had a conference call last week. It was a little bit disappointing. Some folks said that they didn't get enough ample notice. Some people didn't get the email blast, whatever the case might be. We're going to be having another one. I'll schedule 2 at different days and times, and hopefully that will allow for more people to be on it. It's important to be on the conference calls. We do a lot of training. We're talking about our new chapters. We're talking about the training initiatives, our new national conferences coming up. We're talking about everything happening at Private Officer International, and you'll want to be on those calls. If you can't make it for whatever reason, let us know what a good time for you is, and we will try to work around that. We have had a couple of conversations this week with folks in Oklahoma, Texas, California, where else? Utah, Dakotas, and we'll be working closely, hand in hand, with state organizations and with regional training facilities. As we set up these chapters, we're going to coordinate our efforts in training and networking with organizations already in place. So that's going to make us a stronger organization. It's going to strengthen our training ability and our networking ability. If you want to become involved in chapters, if you want to open one up in your area, go to our website, privateofficer.com, later on after the show is over, and follow the chapters link and just fill out that simple form and we'll be in contact with you. One of the other benefits that we're looking at doing is we're looking at adding a classified and help wanted section to our website, to our main website. We want you to tell us what you think about this. As a POI member, association member in good standing, you would get a free classified ad to sell whatever it is that you're selling. Now, you can already do this on our forum, by the way. You can sell things on the forum, and there's no charge. We don't charge a fee like some other organizations or websites. But we're looking at going the distance and helping you to secure better employment by starting a help wanted section and working with a number of not only security agencies but employment agencies and private companies who outsource security. So go to our forums and tell us what you think about that as well. We're always looking at better ways to help our associates, our members, our friends, and we hope that you're taking advantage of all these things. We also have a survey going on the forums at Private Officer Ning there, where you can tell us what part of the benefits or which of the benefits you're using, whether or not you're checking the emails, whether or not you're following the news, whether or not you use the forums frequently, whatever. We'd like to hear from you so we know what's working and what's not, and we can adjust it accordingly. Because our goal is to be the best training resource on the web for private security and public safety, and the best security police organization, association in the world. And we are on the way there. Well, we want to talk very briefly about our national conferences coming up. We have several conferences being scheduled. This is really exciting. We are looking for vendors to participate in the expo areas. If you would like to be a expo vendor and sell your wares, whether it be uniforms or badges or equipment or other things associated with security or law enforcement, we invite you to send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Very quickly, want to go over to the happy birthdays. This week, Ryan Anson in Bethpage, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville to the, I think that's to the east. He's 33. Happy birthday to you. Mark Curtis is in California. Mark did not tell us where in California or his age, but happy birthday to you. Linda is in Saratoga, New York. No age there. Don't know. William Scott is 47. Happy birthday to you. Also want to recognize a couple of people who recently completed this past week, as a matter of fact, their Certified Asset Protection Certification 1. William Hyatt in Kansas City, Missouri, as they say, we're in Missouri. Congratulations to you. Also, David Ranton. David Ranton, congratulations to you. He completed his CAPP1. Stephen Duckworth in Pensacola, Florida, completed his CAPP1 and now working on his Certified Asset Protection 2. And Troy Farr in Newport News, Virginia. Congratulations to all of you and happy birthday to everyone who is having a birthday. That's great. That really is great. When people take the initiative to get the additional training that is not required. We're going to be talking tonight in the training segment about certifications, diplomas, degrees, certificates, and how that works. We'll kind of give you just the surface information because it is a little bit more in-depth than we can do, but I think it's important. And so we're going to share that information with you later on in the training. I also want to go through the news very quickly. Always a lot of news to share with you. And I'm going to skip through some of the headlines very quickly. But in Reno, Nevada, police and security there arrested a man after he made Columbine-type threats at the Mark Twain Elementary School. After he had a disagreement with his son's teacher, and he said he was going to come back and kill everyone. It was going to be another Columbine. Police took the man into custody, and he is charged with a number of felonies. Also in Alabama, police and school security sprung a surprise inspection, drug search really, on a school in Atmore, Alabama, that's in the southern half of Alabama. Sheriff's departments, Department of Corrections, and a number of other agencies brought their dogs in and arrested a school teacher. Yes, a school teacher right there on campus, put her in handcuffs. Police say that they caught the school teacher with drug paraphernalia, marijuana, and other drugs. Police say that it was found to be in her purse. Jill Coulter, 54, of Cantonment, Florida, has been arrested and is in custody tonight. A student was also found to be in possession of marijuana and Lortab, which is a painkiller, a scheduled drug. Two others also arrested during that surprise visit. Lockport, New York. A former security officer for the Buffalo Bills football team filed a lawsuit saying he was injured by a football player who ran into him. Well, the court dismissed William D. Austin Wheatfield's lawsuit saying that there was no grounds for it. It was an accident. We've noticed a lot in the last few years that a lot of departments are outsourcing their law enforcement to sheriff's departments. And Happy Valley, Oregon, police officers are wearing the town uniform, the town badge, but they're actually deputy sheriffs. The town has decided to outsource their police department to the county sheriff's office, and that is really a trend as well. Many police departments are hiring deputy sheriffs to police their communities because they don't have to pay taxes, employee taxes, insurance benefits, all of the things that the county is already paying their deputy. It is a substantial saving in most cases. Bryan, Illinois, a police officer in Bryan, Illinois, has been arrested for child pornography. Ricardo Concepcion was arrested. Police say that an investigation revealed that he had child pornography on his computer. You may have heard about this. This is pretty shocking and disturbing at the same time. An LAPD police officer has been arrested this week for faking his own shooting. Last week, the LAPD police officer said that he was shot by a man breaking into a vehicle, but after an investigation, police have determined that Officer Jeff Stenrose actually shot himself and caused chaotic chaos in and around several schools where the incident happened. Police do not know why the officer decided to do this, but the chief says that he is a disgrace to the badge and he will be prosecuted fully on the felony. Another city in Alabama this time, has decided to cut services and turn it over to the Sheriff's Department. In fact, Wetumpka, Alabama, that is down near Montgomery, Alabama, between Montgomery and Mobile, has decided to turn over 41 square miles of their police jurisdiction to the Elmore County Sheriff's Department. They say that they cannot service the calls in the extended area based on their current manpower because of cutbacks, because of shortages, because of budgets. They're relinquishing, turning over half of their police response area to the Sheriff's Department. Well, that may sound like a great thing for the Wetumpka Police Department, but the Elmore County Sheriff's Department now has to take up the slack. That means they have to patrol the extra miles, answer the calls, investigate the crime. And the Sheriff's Department, they currently only have 32 deputies and already patrol 628 square miles, with more than 1,000 miles of shoreline as well. So this is unfortunately becoming a trend as well. Recently in Charlotte, North Carolina, Mecklenburg-Charlotte Police Department, which patrols not only the city but an extended area of the county that does not have their own law enforcement, is also considering cutting back services and only patrolling and answering calls within the city of Charlotte. So we'll see how that goes. Interesting story Friday out of Lilburn, Georgia. That is in the metro Atlanta area. This is really crazy, folks. Three DeKalb County teens and one of their mothers has been arrested after the teenager skipped school. Yep, they skipped school. They were hanging out with one of the children's mother, but they weren't just hanging out. No, they actually all went on a bank heist. The four robbed a bank in Lilburn, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. Police say that Tawanda Simmons, 35, Benny Bryce, 17, David Rollins, 17, and Glenn Broom, 18, were all arrested after pointing handguns at the teller at the Wells Fargo Bank. Police were able to quickly round up the four. They're currently all in jail waiting trial. Yep, we'll take the day off from school and go rob a bank. Arcadia, California. A man and a teenage woman is in custody after they ran over a security officer who had apprehended them for shoplifting. The security officer is in good condition but was injured. Police arrested Anthony Woodbridge and a juvenile. A security officer in Van Cleve, Mississippi, yesterday had a weapon taken away from him while he was on duty at the Save Rex Pharmacy. Police say that an armed gunman came in, took the security officer's gun, and robbed the store of Oxycontin and several other narcotics. Deputies are looking for him. A shoplifter in Barbourville, West Virginia, faked being pregnant so that she could get out of a shoplifting charge. Once she arrived by ambulance at the hospital, she simply walked away. Police cannot arrest her because they forgot to get her name. In San Marcos, California, a loss prevention agent for Kohl's stopped a man for shoplifting When he did, the man dropped the merchandise and pulled out an automatic weapon, semi-automatic weapon, told the loss prevention officer he would kill him. Another Cole security officer in Colorado Springs had the same thing on Thursday happen to them. They stopped a fleeing shoplifter, and when they did, the suspect displayed a handgun and threatened to kill the security officer. Maryland police in Tacoma Park, Maryland, just outside of the Washington, D.C. area, shot and killed a bank robbery suspect on Friday after he held a hostage. According to police, the bank robbery happened at around 9:25 a.m. The suspect came out of the bank holding a hostage. Police were able to shoot the suspect and kill him. The hostage was not injured. Well, a guest who was on the Dr. Phil show may want to think twice about going on one of those talk shows again. It seems after she arrived back in Anchorage, Alaska, police were waiting for her and charged her with child abuse after she told Dr. Phil that she used hot sauce on his 7-year-old son's mouth and forced him to take cold showers as methods of punishment. Not too good. A security officer, or several security officers at a West Nyack, New York shopping center has been suspended after they found a dead body in a vehicle. Authorities say that the security officers found the dead body. They were working for IPC International, an Illinois-based security agency. They're suspended because their supervisor feels they should have found the dead body earlier. Seems it's been there for at least a week. Tampa, Florida, authorities there have arrested a wife of a military officer who is overseas after she fatally shot her children to death just because they were being mouthy, she told police. They were mouthing off to her. Laura McElvey has been arrested and charged with 2 counts of murder. Police have not said whether or not they've notified the husband yet because he is serving overseas. A security firm in New Orleans is suing a major hotel. The Warwick Hotel is being sued for an unpaid bill of more than $60,000. The Black Hawk Protection Service says the hotel has not paid their bill, and they have no alternative but to take them to court. North Bend, Indiana, casino security have nabbed and arrested 31-year-old Michael R. Marshall after they found him to be in possession of meth. Also, security officers at a casino in Washington State, Seattle, Washington, arrested 2 blackjack dealers at the Tashi Palace Casino after they were caught stealing more than $500 in poker chips, which are felonies. And here's a very interesting item. I need for you to look this up later on after the show. Authorities in numerous states are trying to outlaw a new substance called bath salts, which authorities are saying is really a drug like meth. It has nothing to do with bath at all. They're coming in all types of containers and shapes called Mr. Goodfeel and Mr. Good Blends, Ivory Wave, and other names, but the contents are deadly. 1 gram of this package retails between $30 and $100. So check that out, because that was something new to me. When I heard bath salt, I was thinking of something you put in the bath water to relax. Never know. I will give you an opportunity to call in. If you'd like to call in right now, you can certainly do that. You can call in to the show. We'll take a call or two if you're interested. Most times people don't for whatever reason, but the number is area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number, area code 347-426-3807. And then we're going to move on quickly to our next segment as we are running out of time, as we always do. Kevin just emailed, and he was asking about the bath salt. I don't know. This is news to me, folks. I'm going to be researching this a little bit more this week, but it's being marketed as bath salt. It is illegal in a number of states, but evidently it's like meth, and it's a substance that is a narcotic, not yet recognized by some states such as Alabama, and evidently it can kill. So I will research this a little bit more. Again, if you'd like to call into the show, the number is 347-426-3807. Next week, I do want to tell you we have a great show, very interesting show. A number of people have asked us to put together training or some type of show that would really inform the private security officer about the inner workings of a contract security agency. How does it work? You may have been in the security industry for 5, 10, 15 years. Maybe you're new at this. You may not be aware of how it works. We're going to be talking about contracts, bidding, hourly wages and benefits, state laws, taxes, what the employer has to pay out, and what the bottom line is. How much do they make? How do they make it? What's the difference between gross and net profit, gross income, and the bottom line? We'll be talking about all of that next week right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Frank wants to know. Frank wants to know if there is coming a chapter in Fairbanks, Alaska. Frank, the minute you fill out your application, we will have a we will have a chapter in Fairbanks, Alaska. Seriously, Frank, if you and a couple of fellow officers, some co-workers would like to get together and start a chapter there, we'd love to have you. Just send us an email and let us know that you're interested, and we'll get that going for you. If you are still contemplating whether or not a chapter is right for you, whether or not it's your cup of tea, feel free to drop me a line. You can just send it to radio@privateofficer.com. I will be happy to talk with you personally, one-on-one, and tell you the advantages. And, you know, it's going to be really great to have established chapters like any other organization, and it will be a great opportunity for you to network and train, for you to be able to get together with not only members, but those in the community, including law enforcement. You will be our representative there. So, you know, it really is going to be a great thing. So, Frank, just send us an email, fill out that short application, get it to us, and we'll be glad to contact you. We're going to move on quickly to our next segment. There is a lot of discrepancy and a lot of misunderstanding in the world of higher education. I'm going to barely scratch the surface. I will try not to be too intellectual. I'll try not to get too technical. I'll try not to be too, you know, clinical with you, because I really just want you to understand the differences between certificates, diplomas, degrees, certifications, accreditations, non-accreditations, and board certifications. We see headlines, including our own, a private officer, every day, advertising, training, certificates, degrees, diplomas. How many websites do you come across that's advertising, get a diploma, get a degree, and don't do any work? Get a degree just by sending in your money to us, and we'll award you a degree. We'll get you a diploma. Well, that's called a diploma mill. They're not accredited. If you just want something to hang on your wall, that will work. That will work. But it usually will cost you $700 to $1,000, and you might as well just print out the degree from your own computer. It's the same thing, folks. But what is the difference in certifications, certificates, diplomas, degrees, certified, accredited, non-accredited, board certified? What's the difference? Many schools and institutes of higher learning continue to compare. Their training is better than ours, and ours is better than theirs, and so on and so forth. But here is the fact. I went online this week, did some research. There are many schools offering certificates and diplomas in all sorts of things, everything from CPA to beautician to, you name it, being a barber, so on and so forth, security, law enforcement. They have all kinds of certificate and diploma degree programs these days. But how do you know if it's the right certificate or diploma for you? How do you know if it's legit? Well, let me explain to you the difference. There are basically four levels of recognized credentials in any field, whether you be in loss prevention, CPA, hairstylist, electrician, doctor, lawyer, whatever. Let's start with the basics. There are many certificate programs. You are going to get a certificate if you complete the module of training that we are offering free. That certificate is a certificate of completion. It's issued by the course sponsor after completion of a course, whether it be your employer, whether it be a school, whether it be an academy, whether it be an agency online. A certificate is issued on the completion of a course. Sometimes no exam is necessary. No test is given. It's just a certificate that you took the course. Whether or not you learn anything, whether or not you're qualified in it, whether or not you have absorbed it, that's another question. They don't worry about that. It just shows that you took the course, you completed it. Again, it might be from a school. It might be from a company that you work for. It might be from an online organization such as Homeland Security. It does not certify you, and it is not accredited in any way. However, certificates are considered a valuable informational training, regardless of what industry you're in. And as I said, many people actually build up their resume, build up their credentials, build up their knowledge through multiple certificate programs. It's inexpensive, many times free, very valuable information is taught. There's nothing wrong with certificate program or courses. I recommend them. I've taken them. I still take them as part of EMS and fire department and the other things that I do. We continuously have certifications and certificates and programs and courses that we have to take. So I recommend that any certificate program that you can take, especially if it's free, if it's offered by your employer, if it's offered online by Homeland Security or some other organization, take it. It is valuable information. But it is not an accreditation. It is not a degree. But it is excellent training, and it does enhance your information, your skills, and your resume. Now, the next level is diplomas. There are a number of ways to look at diplomas. When you went to school, whether it be grade school, elementary school, or high school, you got a diploma at the end of your years, whether it be 4 years or 8 years or whatever. You got a diploma. Diplomas are issued usually by a school, private or public, secondary, or a higher learning institute. And there are two types of diplomas. There are those that are somewhat like a certificate. You're issued a diploma after the completion of a specified course. And there are many schools that offer diploma programs, but they're not degrees. They do usually require an exam at the completion or in the middle of the program. They are valuable assets, and they are recognized. But there are two types of diplomas. Those that basically are a certificate of completion after exam, and those that are a degree from a college or university, accredited or non-accredited. Now, I want to clarify this up for you as well, and we're going to get into accreditation for a few moments in a minute here. But a degree is a certificate, and the next level, by the way, is a degree. A degree is a certificate or a deed issued by an educational institution, such as a university, that testifies that the recipient has successfully completed a particular course of study or confers an academic degree. Now, and here's where a lot of people get confused. Well, I got a degree. I went online to ABF College and... yeah, I paid them, I think it was about $4,000, and I got a degree. But then I went to apply for the job, and they told me it wasn't my degree. It wasn't a degree after all. Well, I don't understand that. There are a number of colleges, especially religious colleges, that offer degrees that are non-accredited. They are still worthy, they are still worth getting if that is your specified field. I have a friend of mine, he has a PhD. He took an online course at a recognized religious organization, and they issued, after a number of exams and so forth, the curriculum was as established as any university. However, they're not an accredited organization because they choose not to be. And I'm going to get into accreditation in a moment. But there are colleges and universities that are accredited and those that are not. Those that are accredited and those that are not. Well, what's the difference? Is one more valuable than the other? Is one just a diploma mill? Is one more established? No. The answer truly is no. Well, I thought they had to be accredited to be worth anything. No, they don't. Actually, you see, most countries have a government agency that oversees accreditation of colleges and universities. However, in the United States, in America, it's not like that. And here's what most people don't know or don't understand or don't realize. Accreditation for universities and colleges, whether it be the state university, whether it be Yale, whether it be your local community college or an online university, accreditation simply means, and you can look this up later and research it, but it simply means that they are a member in good standing of a private Accreditation Association. Now, I didn't spend the time to research how far back. I was told it goes back a good ways, but a number of associations are just like any other business, came to be, and they became the recognized entity to be able to issue accreditation. And basically, the way that accreditation works is if you are a college, let's pick the University of Tennessee, and you join your particular local accreditation association, which happens to be the Southeastern SACS, S-A-C, Schools, South Schools and Colleges Accreditation, whatever. If you join that and you adhere to their policy and their governing rules on how secondary and post-secondary education should be handled, and you pay the large $15,000 to $20,000 membership fee, they look at your curriculum, they look at your standards, and if you pass their inspection, and who wouldn't pass if you pay the $20,000 or more per year, then you are issued an accreditation. And the accreditation is usually good for whatever that accreditation agency, accreditation association really, can offer. I know it gets a little technical, but some accreditation associations can only accreditate associate degrees or bachelor degrees. Some are able to accreditate masters or PhD, and some can accreditate all of those. The associations set the standards for their members. Now, there are also accreditation schools, accreditation associations for schools that teach massage therapy, auto mechanics, barbers, cosmetology, and others. Those are accredited. It does get technical. But in order to be able to say that you are an accredited school, whether it be online or brick and mortar, you have to belong to one of the 30 plus associations that are allowed to accreditate degrees. There are the Middle States Association of Schools and Colleges, that's out in the Midwest. The New England Association of Colleges and Technical Schools, up in New England. DEETS, one of the most recognized, it stands for Distance Education and Training Council, they accreditate many online colleges and schools. SACS, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools in the Southeast, they accreditate schools in Alabama, Georgia, south of North Carolina, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, but they don't necessarily accreditate colleges across the country. They have regions. Like I said, there are a number of groups, associations, private entities that are allowed to accreditate. All that accreditation means, and this is what it boils down to, ask your professor at school if you are in school. Ask your principal. Ask somebody in the higher education field, and they will tell you. Accreditation means that your particular school, be it online or brick and mortar, on the road, on the street, in your town, is a member in good standing of this association that is allowed to accreditate schools. Basically, they've paid their membership fee and they pass the standards of this particular organization, That is what true accreditation means. It does not come from a government agency. It does not come from the United States of America, the federal government. It comes from a private entity where the school is a member. Check it out for yourself. That is what accreditation means. Now, I know that's going to shock some of you, because some of you who have college degrees may have thought, well, this was U.S. government certified. This is something that they said that this was a good school. It's on their list of schools. The Department of Education does have a list on their website of schools that are accredited. But basically, all that means, once again, it boils down to whether or not they are a member in good standing of one of these accreditation associations, and whether or not their curriculum has been approved by that association. That's all that it means. Now, and again, that doesn't matter if you went to Princeton, Yale, Harvard. These are pristine, schools. These are schools that are highly recognized. These are the elite of the elite. They are good schools, but the accreditation at that school is no more or no less than many other colleges and universities. It's just the name factor. When you say, I'm a graduate of Yale, wow. Yale, Ivy League. Well, I grew up in Connecticut. I've been to Yale. I didn't go there as a student, but I've been there on the campus. It's no different than any other school. I've gone to Harvard. Not as a student, but as a visitor. Again, no different than some of the other great colleges in the U.S. It's just that we associate names as being higher quality, just like with clothing. When you're looking at clothing and you see the big names, you think, wow, much better than Walmart. Maybe, maybe not. It's not always. Just because the name is something that is expensive and recognizable, it doesn't mean it's any better. It just means that it has some people fooled, actually. You start thinking that it's better, and it's not. I've got some other news for you while I'm on the subject. Many of the name brand food products are no better than the store brands, because store brands are often made by the same companies as the name brand. So it's not always what you think. You cannot judge a book by its cover. But anyway, that is what accreditation is. Accreditation means the college belongs to a private membership association. They've paid their dues. They're in good standing. And they follow the curriculum standards of that organization. That's all that it means. So a college that is not accredited only means that they choose not to belong to one of these accrediting entities. Religious, Christian organizations specifically do not join because their curriculum is different. They're teaching about the Bible. They're teaching about counseling. They're teaching about ministering. So they oftentimes do not join. Now, there are Christian universities that are accredited. Liberty University, one of the largest in the country. Lee University, those are accredited. And a number of other Christian universities have joined the secular accreditation process. The downfall to having a non-accredited degree is that it's not recognized by the Department of Veterans, not recognized by the Department of Education for student loans in most cases, not recognized by some federal employers, not all, but some, not recognized by some employers across the board. Why? Because they feel like maybe the curriculum standards wasn't as high as an accredited university or college would be. If you're attending a college online or in your community and you have not checked it out, you might want to check to see if they are accredited or non-accredited. If they are not accredited, your degree is not worthless. It's still worth something, but it may not be recognized every place you go. It is also not recognized when you are trying to enter a university or college that requires accreditation degrees. For instance, if you have a non-accredited bachelor's degree and you are entering a college to take your master's degree or PhD, you're probably going to be out of luck. They're probably not going to recognize the non-accredited bachelor's degree that you have. They may give you some credit, but probably not. If you are getting a degree just so that you can have it, or just so that you can include it in your resume, or because your employer will accept it from a non-accredited school, that's great. If you're doing it to continue your education and you want to continue it higher, it probably will not be accepted. When they look at your transcript and they look at where it came from, they may not accept it, or they may only give you a fraction of your overall credits. So you will have to look at that. However, many people have degrees from non-accredited universities, and they didn't buy them. They didn't get them in the Cracker Jack box. They didn't buy them online from a diploma mill. They actually took the courses and passed the test. They got a degree. It may not be from an accredited, recognized school, but their education may be as good or maybe even better than some who went to an accredited university or college. So I hope that clears that up a little bit. One other area that I want to touch on, many people do not understand what board certification means. Board certification. We hear that frequently. In fact, recently, when I was making an eye exam appointment, it said that the doctor was board certified. He had a degree. He had a license to operate. But I noticed in his Yellow Page ad, it said board certified. Many realtors are board certified. Many professionals are board certified. I was talking a while back with someone who is a mayor of a small town. He is board certified. Well, what does that mean? Who certifies him? The government? What board are we talking about? When you see ads that say board certified, when you see a professional that has a designation that says board certified, when you see training programs from private officer that says board certified, this is what it means. It means that it is a designation from the organization that they belong to, that this person has passed a specific course, test, or other criteria with that organization, and that they certify him. He is board certified. As a certified asset protection professional with Private Officer International, you are board certified because the board has set forth a curriculum. You have taken that curriculum You have taken that course and passed it. Accordingly, you are board certified. As a eye doctor, as a heart specialist, as a realtor, or other professional, many organizations have a board certified program. That means you have passed or you meet the criteria for their board certification. In the matter of the small town mayor, he basically had XYZ amount of experience, been with the organization of managers, town managers and mayors for a number of years, and that created a board certified designation for him. I'm sure there was a fee attached and involved, an application, but it was approved by the board of that organization, and he was a board certified professional from that organization. So that is what board certification means. Board certification from XYZ company or ABC organization is no better or no worse than the other. ASIS, which I mentioned frequently, the American Society for Industrial Security, a fine organization for managers, mid-level supervisors and managers, and those who are executives, is who they basically have on their membership role. They offer several board-certified designations. You can be a CPP, Certified Protection Professional. All that means is that they have gone through the course and they have passed it and met the standards according to the organization's guidelines, and they are now recognized as a CPP. It's not an easy course. I've taken it. It's very in-depth. It's a great designation to have, but it doesn't mean it's any better than CAPP, Certified Asset Protection Professional. It doesn't mean it's any better because it comes from ASIS. It is the same equivalent designation, recognition, and our standards curriculum is as high, if not higher, than our counterpart. So that is what board certification means. If you ever see it in somebody's Yellow Page ad, resume, business card, that's what it means. It means that their organization that they are a member of has given them the designation of board certified after they followed their curriculum or other requirements of standards. It doesn't mean that they're any better, that they're any more knowledgeable, although we hope that they are. But that's all that it means. And I hope that really clears it up for you tonight, because there was a lot of questions. We've had questions from people who said, well, how come so-and-so company doesn't offer board certifications? What's this board certification? Who certifies it? Is it the government? Is it the Department of Education? No. The Department of Education does not get involved in board certifications, degrees, or diplomas. That's a misconception. They only get involved in the curriculum, in the standards, when loans, grants, VA assistance is applied for. Is handed out. So again, very quickly, you have certificates. Anybody can get a certificate taking a course with your company, with an organization, online or a school. You can become, you can get a certificate after completion of the course with or without a test or an exam. There are diplomas, two types of diplomas. Those that are basically a certificate given out by either a institute of higher education or a academy or school of some type. After you've completed a course of study, the diploma may or may not require exam. Usually it does require exams, but it's not going to be accredited unless it comes from a university or college that is accredited itself. Then you have degrees. College degrees are issued by institutes of higher learning, and again, they may or may not be accredited depending on the organization, depending on the school. It doesn't mean that they're not good. It doesn't mean that it's not worth anything. It just means that they're not part of one of the accrediting associations. If you are looking to further your skills, to enhance your resume, certificates and diploma programs are excellent way to go and very cost effective. Now, recently I became aware of a school called Ashworth College in Atlanta, Georgia, Metro. They charge $1,200, $1,270 for a certificate, a diploma. That is too much. Your diploma or certificate program should not cost more than $300 or $400, $500. If you are looking at entering an online diploma or certificate program and they're charging you $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, $2,000, skip it. Go to a university that's accredited and take an associate degree. Your money will be better spent. But certificates and diplomas are a good thing to have, great value, great knowledge. It will enhance your resume. I hope that's cleared up a little bit about the difference between certificates, diplomas, degrees. And if not, feel free to send me an email anytime at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com, and we will get right back with you. Well, that's all the time we got tonight. We really do appreciate having you on board with us again for another episode of the Private Officer Talk Radio. Remember, next week we've got a great show because we're going to be talking about the inner workings of a private security agency, the real nuts and bolts, how it works, how the money works, how you get paid, what expenses the company has, about bidding, contracting, so on and so forth. Tell your friends to join us because it's going to be a great show. Well, that's all the time we have for now. Thanks for joining us. God bless. We'll see you again next week on the radio. And as always, really, take this to heart. Stay safe.